Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning, and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook, and Twitter at US of Ed. This week, Donald Trump reversed positions on Charlottesville, backtracking on his earlier denouncement of white nationalists and neo-Nazis by saying, "You had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent." You've got a president who wants to make sure to hedge his words when it comes to Nazis and the KKK. It's pretty astonishing.
What he's saying, basically, is people who are promoting integration, promoting race relations, promoting the things all about America, because they're a bit noisy, and he said some of them were carrying weapons. I think some of them had flags. If that's a weapon, I guess they had weapons, are villains. And by doing so, he's emboldened the people who are Nazis and others because they think sotto voce, he's on our side. And then, to make matters worse, when he was in New York, he basically says, "I am on their side, and the other side are bad folk, and I'm willing to protect the side of people who are bigots, etc." I'll say some bad words, but that's not where I am. Where I am is I'm on their side. And you can tell that now because these white racists are coming north to Boston, even into San Francisco, Minneapolis, etc., all over Ohio. They're coming from the South, and some locals who harbored these feelings feeling they've got their man in the White House.
This division we're seeing in America right now, obviously we get you on the podcast to get your perspective as an academic, but just from your perspective as a black man from the United States who has family still living back stateside, does this kind of activity shock you?
Well, not only is it shocking, it's anti-progressive. The United States is just not the home of blacks. It's the home of Muslims. It's the home of all kinds of people. Excuse me. And these people need to feel that they're working toward an agenda of unity, the agenda that Abraham Lincoln talked about, the agenda that Thomas Jefferson talked about, an agenda where people not only treated equal, the outcomes are equal. And so when you can't believe that anymore, the fabric of the nation starts coming apart. How this is going to work out, I hope it will not work out in any physical struggles, but it'll certainly make a very interesting ballot box in the next 2 years.
Now, the new chief of staff, John Kelly, was meant to bring some military discipline to the White House and was famously seen, while Trump was backtracking on his condemnation, staring at the ground, arms crossed, he looked like a man on his way to the gallows. Given that, you know, Republicans have tried to get Trump to act presidential, they in fact succeeded about 40 hours late after the Charlottesville acts to get him to at least condemn them originally before he backtracked. Are the Republicans still kidding themselves that Trump can be controlled?
I think that's over. I think these remarks, this situation, have isolated him from the Republican Party probably permanently. They may not impeach him, but they're not going to do what he says. They're searching for leadership elsewhere. And even McConnell came out and said, I will have to find my own path now, denouncing the president of the United States. That has never, ever happened. So we're in uncharted ground now where the president is so isolated that chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff this morning was making the remarks the president should make about North Korea. And we have Tillotson making the remarks to the rest of the world the president of the United States should make. And the second person to denounce what went on in Virginia was Mike Pence, the vice president. He said it elegantly, quickly, and sharply. So the president of the United States is a person who has an office, a chair, but his responsibilities are gradually being taken over by other people.
I want to circle back to that point you made about isolation, but first on that point about who's taking these world affairs in hand, there's still a lot of focus on North Korea, for good reason, but I think a lot of people have missed a comment Trump made about intervention in Venezuela when he said he was not ruling out a military option when it came to intervening in Venezuela. Now, between this, North Korea, Syria, Trump seems to have developed a taste for war since he took office, wouldn't you say?
There's an old saying in Washington, when your polls are down, get out of town. That is, look for other places, soft-bellied places, where you can rally the American people behind you. And this is relatively common, unfortunately, in the United States. Remember the invasion of Panama, the invasion of Grenada, all these little countries. You know, it's like the bully on the playground. When all the other kids rise up against me, he goes over to the handicap school and beats up on some people over there. So that is an unfortunate penchant in the United States to let domestic issues drive foreign policy. And Trump has picked up on this. But note, when he said that and they called the Defense Department, they said, we have no such orders and we are not prepared for a war in Latin America. In other words, we ain't going.
Mm.
The same thing true with North Korea, where Mattis says, look, we're prepared, but we will not be the first to act. That's what the Chinese wanted to hear. And it was the Joint Chief of Staff head. It wasn't the President of the United States. So his toys are being taken away from him. And at some point, they have to take the Twitter toy away from him because he's out of hand. He's attacked the members, the leadership of his own political party. And this weekend, he's going to Arizona for a rally against the Republican senator there who's in a primary for another guy. Now, the other guy I don't think is much different than the man that's there. But here he's saying, I'm using my presidential capacity to kick out members of my party. Again, unheard of.
On a related note, so many CEOs resigned from Trump's Manufacturing Council following his Charlottesville comments that he had to disband it. As you mentioned there, he's distancing himself from his own party. Republicans are no longer defending him. As much as I'd like to say this is the end of Trump, we could declare this is the end of Trump like some are doing in the media, I'm more concerned that as he becomes more desperate and more isolated, he's going to become more dangerous.
Well, I can see him trying to precipitate some kind of a military action. And that could be in a place like even Afghanistan, where he ups the troop numbers and calls a strike himself against the Taliban or something like that. The military would probably go along with that if it were part of one of their options. They need to let him do something, and they may well do that. On the domestic side, he's already dismantling parts of many of the agencies that protect American food and health and safety. That's going to come back to bite him, and it looks like it's coming back sooner than he thought. Healthcare is a good example of that. So he's a dangerous man. And there are rumors, and I must say very vocal rumors, that his inability to control himself may lead to the 25th Amendment, Article 4, that allows for the removal of the president if he's unable to perform his duties and the vice president takes over. It only takes 8 people in the heads of both houses to do that, and it can be done in an hour.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.